name of God, Abba, Ima, Son, Holy Spirit. Amen. Many years ago, when I was working in the streets of the Tenderloin with a night ministry, I got a call deep in the middle of the night. Back in those days, we only had a beeper so that if there was a volunteer in the office, we could get notified about a situation if somebody called in. I got beeped. I called the office. Barb was on, one of the best volunteers. She said, "Steve, there's a guy. He's near Fisherman's Wharf. He's in a phone booth. It's trouble. It's serious. He's talking suicide. You got to get to him now." I said, "Okay." I had a car that night, drove about a block and a half from the Fisherman's Wharf. And as I pulled in, did see this guy, managed to find him at a phone booth. And so I start to pull in, and he just drops the phone and walks off. So I jumped out of the car, and the phone was dangling there. I grabbed it and said, "Barb, I found him," and hung up. I didn't hear this, "Steve." Well, we got down to the water's edge, right there at Fisherman's Wharf, in between, you know, where the restaurants open up for that space and the boats are parked. And I said, "What's going on?" "I'm going to kill myself. All the..." I said, "How are you going to do it?" Yeah, it's a big question. And he rips his jacket open, and there's dynamite strapped to his body with a timer and all the stuff. I'm just staring at it. I said, "How much time is on there?" "It's 2 minutes. What races through my head is I'm about to say, "Brother, it's your time to go, but not mine. I'm going around the restaurants over there to pray for you." Instead, what happens before I can do that is he turns around and all I hear is, "Boom!" I thought, this is it. Instead, there was a garbage can, you know, with the metal lids on top. And he walks over and he goes, "Bam!" with every ounce of his being. Then he turns back around and he grabs the dynamite, rips it off, throws it in the water. To this day, I know there is soggy dynamite sitting at the base of Fisherman's Wharf. We just stood there for I don't know how long. And finally, began to talk. Talked till the dawn. Then I took him to a vet center. And we never saw each other again, which is the way that ministry worked, because it's crisis intervention. So we rarely saw people ever again. That next day in the afternoon, Barb called up, said, "How are you?" I said, "Fine." She said, "You know, when you grabbed the phone and said you got him, I screamed, but you hung up on me. Steve! He's got a bomb!" But you never heard that part. Now, I admit that's a rather dramatic way to rescue a sheep. And they don't all happen like that, I know. But stories like that never leave one, huh? Powerful. Heaven rejoices when the lost are found. Heaven cheers over one returned, restored human being more than over 99 virtuous people. Two simple stories today. One lost sheep. Just one. 99. Still okay. But that one sheep is never treated as an outsider. Never. The lost always belong. One sheep, one coin, pretty simple. They get lost. It happens. Kind of trivial. What's the big deal? Replace them. One human being lost. Trivial. What's the big deal? It happens. Replace them. Except God's delight, most precious delight, is each and every human being. We have never met a mere mortal. On the tour at Open Heart Kitchen this week, there they are. Some people walking around without teeth, without their minds, without hope, without a future. John Boston friends doing this incredible work. What do we have to say about it? When one returns or is restored, the heavens throw a homecoming festival. The heavens. It takes the breath away. Because in the world of the gospel, this rescuing the refuse of humanity, wherever it comes from, whether it's from the bottommost layers of society, or as we're learning these days, from the upper levels of society. Talk about the refuse, right? It's everywhere. That restoration and hope and life-giving compassion thrills the heart of God. Welcome home, welcome home, welcome home, all belong. Think of all the categories we have constructed to establish the priority of sinners. We've invested a lot of work in that, haven't we? There's some folks who aren't too bad, and then there's, you know what I mean, and then give up, right? It's a lot of work. We've had a song in the Missouri Synod where true Lutherans abide. Chief of sinners, though I be, Elizabeth Hunter Ashley is worse than me. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Most of us sing that during the week, don't we? Several times? Aha. Even Elizabeth sings it. Yeah. Yeah. Our culture of success and respectability has to learn to give way to the culture of joy in rescuing those for whom we thought there was no hope. Can we learn to join in the joy? Because the righteous people need to continue being righteous. And the virtuous people need to continue being virtuous, because what other way is there to live? But can we join in the joy of God? Lovelessness is what discredits God. Arrogant lovelessness, which excludes others, which can't believe that some of those other people have anything to offer, let alone become a part of us. That arrogant lovelessness discredits God, turns God into a fraud, and makes the unity of the whole of humanity, which is the mystery of God's work among us, impossible. We have to change from deep within. We're being invited into that every time we hear the word, when we feast at the meal. And it is the story of the prodigal which follows these two stories in Luke's gospel, which presents what seems to be an impossible situation. Which one of the two sons, which one of the two daughters, which one of the two siblings was closer and which one was farther from God or from heaven? The scoundrel who ran away with the money, who drank himself into reckless self-destruction and helped destroy other people in the process, or the obedient one who stayed at home and did all the right things but had no mercy? Passion, who was also a corpse. Which one is closer or farther? The implication of the story is we are all outcasts. We certainly treat each other that way. We're all outcasts. Who are being invited to the homecoming festival by that great, compassionate, merciful love of Christ, who draws us to, through, with, and for that merciful love's taking root in us, that we might come home, that we might be whole, that we might become human? Heaven can't wait for us and is rejoicing when we return. It is. Return! Amen. The peace which surpasses all human understanding, keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.